The scripture for today is from Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to come to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
So how can you tell if a person is a Christian? Can you tell maybe by the way a person dresses? Maybe by the way they wear their hair? How about what they post on social media? Or maybe by the type of car they drive? Or my favorite, if they have a cross tattooed somewhere on their body? Friends, I wish it was that easy. You actually can't tell if a person is a Christian just by looking at them. Because a Christian is a person trying to follow Jesus in their everyday lives. So being a Christian is more about how a person behaves than how a person looks. This morning, our scripture reading invites us to reflect on what it means to follow Jesus during those difficult moments in life and ministry. During the times when we may feel abandoned by friends and maybe even by God. As we journey with Jesus to the cross, today we're going to look at what it means to take up our cross and follow Jesus. In Mark's Gospel, where our scripture reading for today is taken from, I've always appreciated that Jesus is very clear, very upfront with his disciples about where his journey is headed. Jesus is not going to live to a ripe old age. Healing the sick, speaking to the masses, overturning the tables in the temple, then die a peaceful death, surrounded by friends and family. No, he is going to be killed, and then somehow in 3 days, he is going to rise from the dead. In Mark's Gospel, it's very clear that Jesus will die because powerful humans reject his healing mission. And other powerful humans reject his challenge to the way that they have always done things. Jesus dies because Jesus refuses to dial down his ministry to save his own life. Like us, Jesus' disciples are not accustomed to this way of the cross. At first, they get angry with Jesus. "You can't be serious, Jesus," Peter tells Jesus. "We've got a good thing going for us here. Why do you want to end it by dying a humiliating death, one that is reserved for lowly, common criminals? See, Peter doesn't understand that Jesus' ministry is actually bigger than healing, teaching, and prophesying. See, Jesus came to do something that we cannot do on our own. He came to restore the relationship between us and God. And in order to do that, Jesus must die so that we can live. Where there's conflict, where there's tension in this story, is that by our human nature, we want to be prosperous, strong, successful, and influential. But Jesus has other priorities. Jesus invites us to serve, even if doing this is going to put us at odds with the powers that be. Even if our service puts our own life at risk. And when we follow Jesus into the unknown, we will be persecuted by people who don't understand what Jesus is trying to do. I hate to tell you this, but Christian persecution did not end with the cross. It's easy to think of men and women who've given their lives for the sake of the gospel. Thinking of men and women like Martin Luther King Jr., Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Oscar Romero, just to name a few. But I actually don't think our scripture passage for today is encouraging us all to be martyrs. In fact, most of us will not be asked to give our lives for the sake of another. But all of us will be given opportunities to put the needs of someone else above our own, even and especially when doing so comes at a great personal cost to us. All of us are given opportunities to take up our cross and follow Jesus. I want to give you a quick example of what this might look like. So when I was in Kristen's shoes, when I was doing my field education internship, my supervisor introduced me to a congregant named Betty. Betty was a long-standing member of the church I was serving at. And Betty had a teenage daughter named Angel. And Angel has autism. It was incredibly difficult for Angel to sit still in church. She would often get up and kind of roam and pace the aisles of the sanctuary when my field education supervisor was preaching. When she wasn't roaming the aisles, I could hear her playing loudly on her iPad. When my supervisor first told me about Angel, I was a little bit nervous to see how the congregation would react to somebody creating so many distractions during worship. Would they be annoyed because they couldn't follow the sermon as well as they would like to? To my delight, I watched the congregation figure out how to worship with Angel. One member brought in one of those memory foam pillows for Angel to sit on because the church that I was serving in had those really uncomfortable high-backed chairs, and that helped her quit fidgeting so much in church. I saw another church member give her a fidget spinner. You remember those things that spin. So she had something to play with during our long church coffee hours. My favorite example of this, though, was when the church updated their technology in the sanctuary so that it would include a screen and a projector. I remember the worship committee asked Angel if she would run the PowerPoint during the worship service, and that kind of gave her something to do during the service. Wow, I'm going to remember that. Now, the congregation's treatment of Angel didn't miraculously cure all of her behavioral challenges. Angel continued to have outbursts from time to time. But it was really beautiful to watch a congregation rally around one of their members rather than cast her off as a problem. I remember Betty telling me that church was one of the few places she felt safe to bring Angel. Because in church, Angel could be who she was. And Betty could get a break from constantly worrying about whether Angel was making someone uncomfortable. Friends, when Jesus invites us to take up our cross and follow him, he's often talking about those everyday moments where we have a choice between doing what is right and doing what is easy, where we can do the hard but life-giving thing that makes us uncomfortable, or we can do the easy, comfortable thing that brings about no change. What I appreciate about our scripture passage for this morning is it reminds us that Jesus never promised that following him would be easy. But part of being a Christian means having faith that the hard parts of following Jesus will be worth it. Now, I'm sure all of you know where the sermon is headed at this point. I think this week our text encourages us to reflect on which cross Jesus is inviting us to bear, and to think about taking one small step towards figuring out what that is. So let's say, for example, you serve on a committee that has been asked to keep in touch with homebound members during this pandemic. But you absolutely, 1,000% hate calling people on the phone. So maybe you send out an email to members that have an email address. Maybe you write out what you're going to say to the two people you are promising you're going to call every week. Even though this is something you don't want to do because it's awkward and you feel uncomfortable, you know that in doing so, you are being faithful to your call to care for the members of your congregation. Whatever you decide to do, just remember that when Jesus says to deny yourself, really what he's talking about here is to figure out if your priorities are in line with Jesus' two greatest commandments. Anyone remember what those commandments are? Yes, so those two commandments are love God and love your neighbor. So if you are doing something that makes you uncomfortable, but it helps you love God or it helps you love your neighbor, it's probably worth doing. Because ultimately we believe that there is nothing on this earth that compares to new life in Christ. And with that said, we can go from this place excited to do the things we'd rather not, because they help us show our love and gratitude to God, who loves us a whole lot. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.